Good morning. Happy Sabbath, Wantirna Church. It is always great to join you here on this very cold and crisp Sabbath morning. Being a Kiwi, I absolutely love this weather. Maybe you Melburnians do too. This is basically a summer's day in New Zealand, so we love this, but I hope that you are nice and snug at home, on the couch, in bed, wherever you are. It doesn't matter. We hope that you've enjoyed the service thus far, and I pray that you are ready for today's message. Now, I'm not actually taking it today, and so I do want to apologize to Mackenzie. Thank you for that awesome welcome, but I will be actually taking my service next week. And we will be, of course, carrying on the new series that we have started, the I Ams of Jesus that Yoshi started last week. But today, we actually have a very special message from the president of our conference here in Victoria. His name is Pastor Graham Christian, if you don't know who he is. He's a great speaker, and he has words of hope for us during this time. And so we welcome him with open arms. I'm sure you welcome him too. It's a new face. It's a different face. It's not myself or Yoshi, thank goodness. And so I pray and hope that this message will be a very timely message for you, talking about the end times, how this whole coronavirus thing works in this space. And I pray that you will feel comfortable and that you will enjoy this time. Well, I better get into something a bit more comfortable too.
What a delight to be able to spend a little bit of time and talk with our people from Victoria. Adventists across Victoria have been really engaged in a changing world, and we've all been a part of that, and it's just a delight to know that each one of us have been able to continue to worship together electronically, we know. And I'm just wanting to say a few words for your encouragement, because as we reflect on the world that we live in, things have changed, and I've got to say that I've really been inspired and impressed by what our churches have been doing and what our pastors have done, and just the faithfulness of our people. I've got to say that the hope and the joy and the peace that we have is second to none, and I think it's just wonderful to be able to be a part of that. Perseverance is something where I'm told that it's doing hard work after you've already done hard work. Somebody else said it's keeping on keeping on. And I guess to be able to persevere at a time like this is really a very important thing. And I want to just express appreciation for every one of our church folk who have continued and persevered through the current situation and hung on to their faith in God. I recognise that people have been caring of others. We may not be able to hold each other's hands as in the picture, but people have been caring of others and doing things to really look after each other. People have already also experienced joy in the journey, and there's been a lot of work done in terms of mission. And I'm wanting to thank all of those who have been involved in delivering food or providing food through ADRA and through the church. And I know that there are many people have been involved in that. I just want to say thank you to you. You've done a great job and are doing a fantastic job. You may have heard about the initiative that's coming, because we at the conference have not been sitting on our hands in terms of mission. And we've thought and planned, and there have been a number of entities who've become involved in it, and you may be aware of what is planned for May. But I just wanted to share that with you now. Hope Online, we're calling it, and Predictions of Hope is a presentation by Gary Webster and Robbie Bergen, and that'll be from May 8 to 11, and that's an introductory series, which will be absolutely fantastic. And then we go on to have a series with John Bradshaw with Hope Awakens. And we know of John from last year, and we had a great time working with him. And we're looking forward to his presentation. And that'll be a 20-night series. It won't be 20 consecutive nights, but that will be presented over 4 weeks. And it's readily available online. All of what we're talking about is readily available online. And then we come to another series, which will involve people from local churches. And this is the masterclass, the Zoom masterclass presented by local pastors, and that will be based on secrets of prophecy. And so that's going to be a fantastic opportunity, and we are really looking forward to that. And we're eager to have you involved in it, because this is a significant opportunity to reach people for Christ. In fact, it's probably one of the easiest evangelistic initiatives that we can ever be involved in. So I want to involve you and invite you to be involved in that, and to invite your friends to watch online, and that'll be a wonderful thing. I can assure you, we're going to need everyone involved. We're going to need a lot of prayer support for this initiative. And so we're inviting you to be involved by watching online, by registering, inviting others to register, and also to spend time in prayer and come before the Lord, because we're going to need lots of prayer. Support for this project will be really important. Before we open God's word today, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you because you indeed are a wonderful God. And we come to you because we're asking for your blessing today as we open your word and as we read from the scriptures. We just ask that you will give us your wisdom and your guidance, and that you will open our hearts and minds towards you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We know that Jesus is coming. We look forward to the time when Jesus will return. We think of it as the blessed hope. We're known as Adventists because we have the blessed hope. We look forward to the return of Jesus. But when will it be? When is it going to happen? From the very beginning, people have been wanting to know, when will Jesus be coming? Right throughout the Old Testament, people were asking, when will the Messiah come? What will be the signs that we know he's coming? Well, unfortunately, Jesus came and people didn't recognize him. We don't want to be caught like that. There are so many things that we can do and so many things that we can focus on, but we don't want to be caught short. We want to be ready when Jesus comes. And so people have asked, the disciples asked the question, when will Jesus' coming be? And Jesus, and when would the end of the world be? And Jesus answered those questions in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 is a place that we go to for signs of the second coming. If you have your Bible there, I'm inviting you to open it to Matthew chapter 24, and we can read together about some of the signs. In Matthew chapter 24, we can read in verse 4 where it says, "Take heed that no one deceives you." And then he goes on and says, many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. And then he goes on and he says that you will see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes and pestilence. All of these things must happen before the return of Jesus. And so as we look at the time of trouble that the Bible talks about, and it goes on further in the book of Matthew, In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus goes on and talks about a time of trouble such as never was. We look forward to knowing that that will happen while we may not be eager to experience it. So there's a sense in which the Bible and these signs that Jesus has talked about, these signs are a little bit like your GPS. We enter into the GPS, the destination that we want to go to, and the GPS guides us along the way. Now, if I'm going home from the supermarket or from the office, I don't need my GPS because I know the signs that there are along the way. I know the road signs, I know the turns to take, I know where to go. But a GPS is pretty good when you don't know exactly where you're going, so long as it works well. And the GPS is only as good as the maps that are entered into it. And it's only as good as the destination that is entered into it. I don't know if you've had experience with a GPS where things went wrong. I certainly have. I can remember traveling in Croatia a few years back, and we had a GPS, and we had it set to take us back to the home base where we were staying. The only problem was the maps weren't up to date. They weren't good enough. And I can remember one evening we were driving along and the GPS said to us, turn around and turn around again. And so we did a U-turn and it just said, turn around again. And no matter what we did, it just said, turn around and turn around again. And so there we were laughing because this was such a ridiculous thing to do. And we were just going in circles, doing U-turn after U-turn. The GPS was not capable of taking us where we wanted to go. There have been other times where I've been driving along again in Europe. The GPS said, turn left, because it figured that would be the shortest way for us to go. Now, to turn left was to take us up a farmer's track, which wasn't even a highway, wasn't even a road. And I decided not to take notice of the GPS. So when we come to the GPS that we need, that will take us through to the kingdom of God, I would suggest to you that this book, the Bible, is a pretty good GPS. Because here we have God speaking to us and Jesus telling us about the signs that we need to take notice of. And so Adventists have been taking notice of those signs year after year and looking to see what will be the signs of Jesus' return today, tomorrow, and next week. We have had so many of them surface in 2020 that it's almost beyond belief. We've had the COVID-19 virus come up, and that certainly qualifies as pestilence, I would suggest. People have asked, and they've schemed, and they've planned, and there are still people doing it, trying to figure out, when will Jesus' coming be? When will it happen? And there are people, even now, who are making predictions, saying, well, it couldn't be beyond a certain date. Let me ask you, as you read from the Word of God, what focus did Jesus have? When he spoke in Matthew 24 and spoke to his disciples, what was his focus? Their focus was about the signs of his coming and of the end of the world, and he spoke to them about those signs, and we've looked at some of them today. But what was Jesus' focus? What was it that he was wanting us to know as a result of what he had said about the second coming of Jesus and the end of the world? I want you to come back to Matthew chapter 24 and have a look at the bottom line as far as Jesus is concerned. What was it that he wanted us to take notice of? I don't know whether you do the same as I do, but if I get my electricity bill, I don't go and look at all of the fine detail. I just go straight to the bottom line because I want to know how much do I have to pay. So I'm interested to know what was the bottom line for Jesus in Matthew chapter 24. Well, I want you to come to verse 36. And I'm going to have a look in my Bible to see what did Jesus say. Verse 36. This is right at the end, towards the end of the chapter. And he says, of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So the first thing that Jesus wants us to know is we do not know when it's going to happen. We can see signs that remind us that his coming must be soon, but we do not know when. People have made mistakes in the past trying to set dates to tell other people when Jesus will come. We do not know. When Jesus said that, that was true, and today it is still true. I want you to come down to verse 42 to see what else Jesus said. He says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord will come. So Jesus said, first of all, no one knows when the second coming will take place. And he says, so we should watch because we don't know when. And then I'd like you to come down to verse 44. And this really is coming to the point that Jesus is wanting to make. Verse 44, and Jesus says, therefore you also be ready. Now, he doesn't say, get ready for the second coming of Christ. He says, be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. So there are three things in the bottom line of this chapter that Jesus says. First, remember, you don't know when it's going to happen. Second, watch and be aware of what's going on in the world, but remember that you still don't know when. And third, be ready. So that's the bottom line for Jesus. So he's saying to us, be ready. But that's not all he says, because it goes on in verse 45 to tell the story of the faithful and the evil servant. And I want you to notice that another part of what Jesus is wanting us to take notice of is this story. And he says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his house to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, finds him so doing. And so basically what we have here is Jesus saying, be ready, but also be faithful. Be faithfully working to do the work that the master wants done. The evil servant was the one who said, my Lord delays his coming. And he went off and he did many other things. In verse 46, if we were to summarize that, basically we could say, Jesus is saying, do what God wants us to do, what he expects of us. Now, Matthew 24 is not the end of the discourse that Jesus presented to his disciples. He went on in Matthew chapter 25 to tell three stories. And those three stories were basically to illustrate what Jesus had been talking about in Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 25, the first of those stories is the story of the wise and the foolish virgins, the story of the 10 virgins. we can read this story, and it says the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 of them were foolish. But the wise took oil, the foolish didn't have oil. They didn't have enough oil in their lamps. It reminds me a little bit of how we are situated at home with our internet. I had the opportunity to connect to broadband just before coronavirus came, and I didn't manage to take the opportunity. Now we can't get broadband because it's not being made available right now in our area. And so NBN is not really available to us. Why? Because we didn't move quickly enough. The 5 foolish virgins, they were just going by using what oil they had, and they figured it'd be okay. What's the point of this story? We understand that the oil that Jesus is talking about is the Holy Spirit. The point that he is making in this chapter, in this story, is we need to be connected to Jesus. We need to be connected to the Holy Spirit to have a spiritual connection with God. And he says, repeating what he said in verse 24, chapter 24, in verse 13, he says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." And so he repeats that reminder, we do not know when. And then he goes on to the parable of the talents. So the parable of the talents is all about people who were given abilities and given some resources. And they were expected to go and invest those resources and help the master's business to prosper. Well, what is the master's business? We understand, of course, that the master is God himself. So what's his business? His business is bringing the good news to others, helping other people to know him. And so when the master returned, he found one of the servants had done nothing with the resource that he'd been given. Another of the servants, who had 2, he hadn't buried his talent. He had multiplied it, and the one who had 5, well, he had multiplied his as well. What's the point of the story? I would suggest to you that the point of the story is be faithful in the master's business. And so we can see that Jesus is repeating the key things and the major points that he has been making. And so now let's come to the next story. And the next story is the story of the sheep and the goats. We find this in verse 31 and following. And we find that Jesus comes and he says that all the nations will be gathered before him in verse 32, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. As we go on, we find Jesus talks to some people and says, "You are one of my blessed people. Come and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." And of course they say, "When did we see you naked or in prison?" And he said, "As often as you did this to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." And so the basic message that Jesus has in this story is be kind. The way we treat other people matters. These are the questions that Jesus asks in the judgment. How have we treated other people? And so basically now we have learned a number of things from what Jesus has shared with us. First of all, we need to maintain our spiritual connection. We need to maintain our faithfulness in the Master's business. We need to treat others with kindness the way Jesus would want us to treat them. Loving kindness makes all the difference. And so let's explore. How can we maintain our spiritual connection at a time like this? It seems to me it's all about time with God. That's a very basic starting point. To open the Word of God, to spend time reading from His Word, that's really important. To spend time in prayer, asking God for what He knows we need, but even more importantly, to spend time praising His name and thanking Him for the good things that He has done. And it's important, as part of our spiritual development, to share the good things that we've found and to share the information with others. Ladies and gentlemen, and boys and girls, young people, let me suggest to you that right now is an excellent time for us to renew our relationship with Jesus. It seems to me that as we reflect on this, we need a revival of primitive godliness more than ever before. It seems to me that that revival of primitive godliness is the most urgent of our needs. It was a lady who called Ellen who has told us that. And so as we reflect on where we are and how we can focus on this, my call for you today is to get down on your knees, to open the Word of God, to be able to invite others to be involved as well, and to ask God, what needs to change in my life? To come before Him with repentance and confession, knowing that He has promised that if we confess our sins, He will cleanse us. He'll forgive us. He'll cleanse us from all iniquity. Ladies and gentlemen, let me suggest to you, it's about time. It's about time for us to be the people God wants us to be, that we may be in His kingdom, not just now, but even more so when He comes. I wish you God's richest blessing. I'm going to invite you to pray as we close our time together. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You in prayer. We recognize that You are a great and wonderful God, and we recognize that Jesus' coming must be soon. We don't know when, but we know what matters most because Jesus told us. And so as we see the signs, we just ask that You will give us Your blessing, that You will keep us on track with You, that we may be there and we may be ready on the day when Jesus comes again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.